Welcome to Sports Talk with Tonsoni, the Indiana Baseball Edition. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, and along with Chris Feeney, Josh Bennett, Cassidy Palmer, and Carl James, we will be bringing you information on Indiana baseball. Hope you enjoy the show. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, and thanks for joining us on Talking Hoosier Baseball. Let's start off with our weekly recap. Game one, Friday night, Indiana defeated the Toreros 10-4 behind the hitting of Ryan Feinman. Feinman drove in four with three hits, including a huge two-run home run. Matt Gorski and Elijah Dunham had multi-hit efforts as well. Jonathan Stever earned his first win of the season, pitching 5 2/3 innings, and Cade Crisco came on in relief, finishing the game with 3 1/3 innings, getting a save. Then Saturday, doubleheader in game two of the series, but game one of the doubleheader, the Hoosiers suffered a 6-5 loss. The Hoosiers trailed early 3-0 and 6-1, but made a valiant comeback, scoring four runs in the last four innings, including two in the ninth, and leaving the tying run on base. Actually, Logan Kalitha was thrown out at the plate in a close call, what we think was a bad call, to end the game. Paulie Milto took the loss on the mound. Luke Miller, Logan Sowers, and Gorski led the offensive attack in game one of the doubleheader. Game two of the doubleheader, game three of the series, saw the Hoosiers complete a comeback this time by scoring the go-ahead runs in the top of the ninth inning. Consecutive hits by pinch hitters Dunham and Sam Crail scored the tying run. Drew Ashley set up the inning with a great sacrifice bunt, moving Lauren Eustace, who had a leadoff walk to start the rally. Logan Kalitha finished the rally then with a single, driving in the winning run. BJ Sable pitched the eighth to get the win, and Cal Kruger earned the save in game two of the doubleheader, game three of the series. In game four of the series, finishing this afternoon, the Sunday Reds were shining bright as we the Hoosiers won. I didn't play, but the Hoosiers won 8-4 to complete the series win. Matt Gorski led the attack with a 4-for-4 day and three RBIs, and Matt Lloyd hit a towering blast for a three-run round-tripper that is still traveling as we speak. Cam Beecham pitched four innings to pick up his second win of the season. Kruger and Lloyd completed the day on the mound, shutting down the San Diego comeback attempt late in the game, giving the Hoosiers a 3-1 series victory over a highly ranked, mid-ranked, but good quality opponent on the road, San Diego. So a great weekend leaves the Hoosiers 9-2 on the season, and we're ready for some great Hoosier highlights, of which there were many this weekend. Starting out for me, I think the offensive ability to score runs is just huge, and the Indiana baseball fans will really enjoy that. Down 6-1, we make a comeback. Down late in game two of the doubleheader, there is no game that this team can be counted out this season. And scoring runs, 10 and 5 runs and 6 runs, that's going to give our pitching staff a lot of confidence to keep throwing the ball in there, pounding the strike zone. If you give up a run or two here, to stay with it. But 1-9, Jeremy Houston had a couple hits in the last game. It's good to see him get his bat going. And we have guys ready to hit coming off the bench. So the Hoosier highlight for this weekend, obviously for me, was the wins. But, boy, we have the bats right now to really put pressure on opposing pitching staffs, wear them out early in the weekend, and then jump on them on the back end. And the guys on the bench did an outstanding job. So let's go around to our wonderful crew. Thanks for being here. And we're going to start off with Carl. What's your Hoosier highlight for the week?
My Hoosier highlight is going to be starting pitching. Going into this weekend, starting pitching outside of Paulie Milto was a concern for the Hoosiers. We had not seen a great outing at that point by Jonathan Stever, and really no other good even just getting off to that first inning has been really ugly, and we've been getting up a lot of runs. We saw a very different picture in this series. Paulie Milto stumbled a bit. He didn't have the outing that we would expect, and he took the loss in game two of the series. But, you know, we know what Paulie can do, and I'm not worried about where Paulie's going to be for the rest of this year. You know, it's baseball. We're going to have hiccups here and there. Most importantly, Jonathan Stever got it started with 5.2 innings. He gave up four runs, three of them earned, but almost all of that damage was done the third time through the batting order. The first two times through the order, and in those first five innings, he was solid, and it was a very good outing from Jonathan. We also add freshman Tommy Summer, the third game, four innings pitched, five hits, two earned runs, and a walk with three strikeouts. Very solid outing from Tommy. Then today, Cam Beecham, he also put in four innings, only gave up three hits, and he only walked two, which was has just been an improvement for Cam. And watching him today, I really, really liked what Cam was putting out today. He was battling. He was competing. Even when he did walk, it wasn't like the ball was massively outside the strike zone. He was really close to the corners there. He looked like he was in control, and he was really putting the team in a position to win. And that's what these starting pitchers are doing now. And this, the way this team is built, you know, they're not needing to have, you know, 7-8 inning outings from the starting pitching. The bullpen is so good, but what they weren't doing was just getting the game off on a good footing. And that changed this week. And I think that gives a lot of positives, especially going into, you know, a period where there's going to be a lot of games in a short period of time. They're going to have to get these games off to a good footing. And that's what they did this week.
And the starting pitching was a little bit of a concern coming out of the first two weekends because Milto had been the only consistent effort in the starting rotation. It's good to see some people get four innings, five innings, six innings. As the season goes on, their arms will get stretched out. They'll be able to go longer if needed. And I agree, the bullpen is just a fantastic thing. And I think, Josh, your Hoosier highlight. What's your Hoosier highlight?
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback Carl there and take the back end of the pitching and say the bullpen was the highlight of the weekend for me. They had 17 and a third innings pitched and only three earned runs, and all those were from the same guy. So everyone else was locked down outside of the one, but averaged under a hit per inning. Cal was great all weekend. Like you said earlier on the recap, Brian, Cade was fantastic Friday night backing up. Johnny, three and a third, no runs, one hit, I think. And then I was kind of worried about rust on Matt Lloyd because he'd only appeared one time in our first ten games. So, but he looked good today, so that was good to see. I think we have a strong bullpen, especially the back end is going to be locked down.
And one of the things I think we need to know is, like, Hobby gave up some runs, but Hobby had a great first two weekends. And yeah. And so as a reliever, you come in, and if you get hit one inning, then your stats get a little bit crazy because you're only going one or two innings. But Hobby's been a surprise early this week, and he just got hit for the one inning there. But three runs and 17 in the third innings, that's quality. And we just have some lockdown guys on the back end of the bullpen. So Chris, your Hoosier highlight for the weekend?
There's so many to choose from. I mean, to narrow it down to a player is really difficult. But for this Hoosier highlight, I decided to go with Logan Kalaitha. Incredible, the stuff he's doing. It really is amazing. You know, the two-out triple takes the lead. Two outs in the ninth. He gives us the lead in the ninth inning. He's getting on base all the time. I mean, it's not supposed to be this easy. He just got to D1 ball, and he's going Roy Hobbs on people. I mean, look at his bat. Look for a lightning bolt. I mean, I know it wasn't made out of a tree. It's an aluminum bat. But this guy, it's incredible. I don't know how he's doing it. And he's sustaining it. He's sustaining it. That's 11 games. You know, this isn't a hot series. 11 games, triples, doubles, getting on base. This guy's got hit nine times. How does that happen? I have no idea. But, I mean, he's clutch. He's great in the field. Who's your highlight, Logan Kalaitha?
And the nice thing about Kalaitha is his speed at the top of the lineup and getting on base, however it is. Nine hit by pitches is awesome. You know, he's probably crowding the plate a little bit, not worrying about that, but he wants to get on base, and then he can steal bases. And yet then it sets the lineup up for Lloyd and Miller and Sowers and Fineman and right down the road. When you got a guy on base and that pitcher's got to pay attention, and then the merry-go-round goes. And I will also say that I think Kalaitha does a nice job in the outfield, added that speed in the middle of the outfield. And he and Gorski both with their wheels can do some things defensively. So
absolutely. He's taken away a bunch of hits. He's taken away 3 or 4 hits out of that outfield, whether it's coming in on a ball or going behind him. He's good on both of those.
So very good Hoosier highlight. And our last one is Cassie. What was your highlight of the weekend?
For me, it was just the variety we saw this weekend. I mean, if you had told me going into the weekend that the Hoosiers would have 3 different games where in one game, Pauly gave up 6 earned runs, in another game, the offense struck out 14 times, and in another game, the defense committed 5 errors, I would have thought it would have been a horrible weekend. But the team where one area of the game struggled, the rest stepped up in all of these games. I mean, you had strong pitching, starting pitching, strong relieving pitching. We had some big power. We had Lemo ball galore. And even just the variety of weird stuff we saw. We saw a 9-3-1-4 double play. We saw a 9-2-6 put out on a guy trying to advance to second on the throw. We saw a barehanded catch of a failed bunt that blew my mind by Wyatt Cross. We saw a steal of home by Ryan Feinman.
The cleats. The cleats.
Yes, it was the cleats. But this team is just finding ways to win, and that is huge.
Well, those are some Hoosier highlights from this weekend. We could probably spend a whole show talking about how great things were. But now it is time for the Limo Hat Award.
Yeah.
And these things are very comfortable. And hopefully
They really are.
It'll be shining warm sometime at the BART soon. So this can keep the sun off my glorious head there. But let's go to the weekly awards with Chris Feeney.
All right. First off, I am not wearing the Limo hat once again. I went Roger Radio. I'm not switching it up. Okay. I know it was like, I'm going to wear the Limo hat if we do really well for a weekend. No. This red hat was worn in the last show, and we went out west and took 3 out of 4. This red hat is staying on my head. So we have this week's Limo hats. I had a little paperwork here because it was a lot to go over. I got to tell you, first of all, I'm going to do the defensive Limo hat, the Tony Butler Award Limo hat. This one, there was a bunch of choices for. We had Gorski make a nice play in the outfield. Sowers made a nice play in the outfield. Houston made a nice play at shortstop. But for this week's Limo hat for the Defensive Player of the Year Award, the Tony Butler Award, we're going Wyatt Cross for that barehanded play. That thing was ridiculous. And not only making the play, looking at it on the screen, you would have thought the guy did this like 10 times. He was cool as could be. It was great stuff. Wyatt Cross, Defensive Player of the Week, Limo hat. Now we go over to the Pitcher of the Week, Limo hat, which will eventually earn the Joey Donato Pitcher of the Year Award from Talking Hoosier Baseball. A lot of choices here as well. I don't want to go into who the choice is because I know you guys like to kick names out after. So what I'm just going to do for this one, Cade Crisco. Okay? Cade Crisco set up this weekend. He comes in for Johnny. 3 innings, first gets out of that jam, then goes 3 more innings, and that was it. Nobody else has to come in. Coach has the entire rest of the bullpen for the next 3 days. So Cade, this is actually his second Limo hat. He has a Defensive Player of the Week Limo hat also, and now he has a Pitcher of the Week Limo hat. Cade Crisco was clutch Friday night to shut down that game and have nobody else come in. Oof, this was the hardest one. Forget it. The Offensive Player of the Week Limo hat, which will eventually lead to the Alex Dickerson Award. This one was rough. Gorski's day today was outstanding. The moment, I mean, Friday night, Ryan Feinman coming back to Cali. What do you have, 4 RBIs? The bomb to left. Ugh, I love baseball moments like that. That was great. Coming home, friends and family in the stands. Who else? Kaleta, Roy Hobbs, But we're going to go with Matt Lloyd. Every single game, he had a hit and a couple of RBIs. And if you put a ball on the roof of an apartment complex, you get a Limo hat. Okay? So for week 3, we have Matt Lloyd, Offensive Player of the Week, Wyatt Cross, Defensive Player of the Week, Cade Crisco, Pitcher of the Week for week 3.
Chris Feeney digs the long ball.
big time.
You get one on the roof, you get a limo hat.
Oh yeah, well it made it easier too. It was a nice way to differentiate the guys. Put it on the roof anytime, limo hat.
I mean, there were so many offensive guys. We can go around. Gorski went 4 for 4 today and had some big hits. And Fineman, like you said, you know, Sowers had a pretty decent had a few hits as well. You can go up and down that lineup. But how about the pinch hitters in the ninth inning? You know, the back-to-back hits, the bunt that got us going. So, man, you could throw out some there. Quickly, let's go around to everyone and honorable mention, maybe cheese hats or whatever. We'll go, Carl, you first. Who would you like to mention that did not win?
I'm going to make a surprising choice because we haven't heard much about him, and that's Logan Sowers. And the reason why is he has been Mr. Steady this entire year. And he is still doing that this weekend. 5 for 12. He's gotten on base 9 of 17 times, roughly. Cassie might be able to clear that up for me. 4 walks. He only struck out 3 times, 1 in each of the first 3 games. You know, he's not done anything that's really made you, stand out, but he's been exceptionally steady in right field. People do not want to run on him, or he's been getting outfield assists, and he is making good at bats every time. He's just a solid piece of this lineup. And that's not how I've pictured Logan Sowers over the course of his career. And he's been that so far this year. And just the fact that he's keeping it up and kept it up this weekend is the reason why I'm putting him as my cheese hat.
You know, you bring up a good thing. And I noticed this. I was coaching a little bit this weekend, but didn't get to see all of it. But I'm noticing the arms in the outfield. And people not running on us on fly balls, on taking the extra base. We got a nice out today with a shot at home, and then Fineman with his good arm. I know we kicked it around a little bit defensively over the weekend, and that's probably the spot that we need to improve on as we go forward to not give free bases and you know, unearned runs. But our arms defensively seem to be pretty solid, as well as Logan getting consistent. And it seems to me too, and again, I haven't seen a lot. You hear people talk that he's going opposite field. He's looking at 2 strikes to make contact. It seems like from listening and watching a few games, that'll be interesting to see if that's real or just my imagination. Cassie, your cheese hat or honorable mention limo hat?
Yeah, I'm going to give the cheese hat to Tommy Summer. Because coming in, I didn't really know what to expect from him in his first start, and he had a solid outing. That can be a pretty tough spot to come into the second end of a doubleheader after that emotional loss in the first game, and he really did well. He did probably a little better than I expected him to.
I liked the way he looked on the mound. Saw him pitch a couple innings before I had to take off on Saturday night. So it was that's an added addition. And talk about outfield arms. We've got arms, you know, in the starting rotation. We got arms in the bullpen, and they seem to be doing an outstanding job. Josh, your cheese hat.
I think I'm going to go with Matt Gorski. 8 hits this weekend, on base 10 times. You guys are killing me with this because I make a little list up of my top 3 or 4, and then you kill me with Crail's pinch hit, the pinch hitters, and then Crisco. It's like, man, this, you guys are tough. I hope I get on top of the pecking order. What do I need to do to get to the top of the pecking order so I can get my first pick?
Well, you know, you might have to bring me a beverage, and then I'll just choose you first. You know, I just kind of randomly go how I feel here, so But no, Gorski, I like the way he can hit, run, and lay down a bunt. I think he's a fun player to watch.
Yeah.
All right, it's that time of the week where we talk about the impact of this weekend RPI-wise, because we want to have the highest RPI possible. We'll get rid of the limo hat.
It's hot, right? It's a warm hat.
It's pretty awesome. Now you get to see my receding hairline. But we hope our RPI is not receding. So we hope it's moving forward, and we think it is. We had a great weekend on the road against a quality opponent, and Carl has the update for our RPI.
Okay. When I kind of figured a 40-win season based on the original strength of schedule, I had looked at this weekend as a 2-2 split. And typically when you – and you even hear the national media guys talk about this, that when you have two quality teams put a four-game set together, you're typically ending up in a 2-2 split. So this was a big deal going 3-1, taking this series, and it's something that in May will be looked back as part of the resume that – you know, winning this series at San Diego, I think will be a huge deal because the San Diego team is still going to do very well in the WCC and they may very well get to a regional. So this is I think this is a big win from that perspective, from the resume. As far as RPI goes, the biggest thing I'm tracking right now is the opponent win loss, which had been exceptional up to this point. Not quite as good in the past week, but what's nice is we're starting to see the numbers get bigger and bigger so that the numbers won't move as much. Right now, it's 588 is the clip, 352 wins, 247 losses. So there was a bit of a come down from that 625 clip, but that wasn't going to be realistic. Last year was over 580, and it was awesome. And that was not, you know, what we were expecting. And this year, we were only expecting a little over 510. So at 580, it's pretty good. And you got to figure, you know, teams like, Western Illinois might like win a game at some point, and that might help too. So there's things that might help. You know, we may not expect, you know, Butler to keep, to only lose one game all year, but we'll see how that goes as the year progresses. A lot of those things will hopefully factor themselves out. I did run the predictive model again. It's dealing with not a lot of data right now. The model comes up with Indiana finishing seventh, which would be great. Although it's lower than the real time, although the real time is going to go down dramatically over the next 2 weeks. But that's okay because in the end, RPI only counts one time. And that is the night before Memorial Day. So until then, the target is, you know, to see if we can get into that top 16 to host a regional, or in the top 40 to be in the range to make it to a regional. So
we want bleachers, Carl. We want
okay,
bleachers.
Okay, top 16 then. Top 16.
Sir. Yes, sir.
So if that's the goal, there are
temporary bleachers.
IU is on track for that. But, you know, we've got a lot of baseball left to play, and yep. We'll keep a good eye on it going forward.
And we're just ahead of schedule because of, you know, where we thought we would be at this point. Winning three series in a row really helps. And it's always better to be, you know, a little bit better than you think you should be at this point. So yep. Just keep winning the games. Now we have a 10-game homestand coming up against teams we should do well against, and we need to take care of business at home and get a little better in those areas that we need to get better. And talking about statistics and things to look at, we're now going to Cassie with this week's stat report.
Yeah, so I talk about this every week with the strikeout watch. This week we did average 10 strikeouts a game, which was on the high end, up from 6 a game last weekend and 8 overall on the season. But to be fair, a couple of them were even productive with the drop third strikes making it to first. So that was pretty cool. But this was on the high end for strikeouts. I kind of expected it would be with the opponent, with the numbers they had been putting up, especially Sprangle. Like, he might have been wild at times, but he's nailing the strike zone too. So that's about what I expected it to be. On the power side this weekend, I was really intrigued by this matchup, a team that hits for power and a team that doesn't give up extra base hits. And I didn't expect to see as much power as we saw. IU had 15 extra base hits. Cindy had only given up 12 before the weekend. That included 4 home runs, which is down a little bit from IU's pace at that point. But San Diego had only given up 4 on the season. So that brings IU's season total to 41 extra base hits and 14 home runs. And as a little bit of a fun fact, Luke Miller at 5 home runs has as many or more home runs as 5 Big Ten teams: Michigan, Penn State, Rutgers, Nebraska, and Iowa. So, and IU does lead the conference in home runs by, I believe it's one over Maryland.
We got to beat them. We have to beat
yes.
them.
Yeah. Yes. And so updating the home run pace numbers that I mentioned in my piece on the website, we're hitting about 1.3 home runs a game. Last year at this point, the team was at 1.1 per game. And for comparison, the Bash Brothers years of 2012 to 13 both averaged 0.9 a game. So these 2018 Hoosiers are hitting the ball really hard. Just ask the people over in those Manchester apartments who are still searching for that ball. So
it's on the roof.
It is. So they are hitting it really hard. And I finally had to address the elephant in the room with those HBPs. And it seems like these Hoosiers are getting plunked a lot, especially Kalitha. He leads the Big Ten in hit by pitch. And like with Luke, he has at least as many HBPs as six Big Ten teams. Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, Rutgers, and Illinois.
Secret weapon.
So, yes. So, on the season, Hoosiers have been plunked 22 times so far, which, again, is one higher than Maryland. They are the next closest to us. And I wanted to take a look at, because it doesn't seem like we've been walked all that much. We haven't been drawing walks. We've only walked 27 times compared to the 22 HBPs. And so that's a ratio of 0.81, which seemed really high. So I looked at everybody else in the conference. And the next closest to us is that team by the Wabash at 0.34. That's a huge jump. And so this isn't a meaningful stat. It's probably an early season quirk, but probably something to keep an eye on over the next few weeks.
And something you only get here on Talking Hoosier Baseball. Do you get that kind of information? I mean, we have the best statistician in the land here with those numbers. So
no weather this week, Cassie? No weather?
No weather this week. I did not look at wind or weather or anything. But it could be interesting to see if the new gigantic scoreboard changes how the wind reacts in left field, because that thing is massive.
I know you'll be all over that. You will be That's all right. over that to see if it changes the directions of the balls.
So we head now to Josh with our story of the week from the website and from, just from us, I guess. So, Josh, take it away.
Okay, for my story of the week this week, I'm going to go with the iubase.com/TalkingHoosierBaseball tailgate that we're going to be doing on Saturday. El Capitan, the captain. Cap, what are we going to go with on this?
The captain.
The captain, okay. The captain will be there. The captain will be there at 10 o'clock. The captain will be there at 10 o'clock on Saturday. We're going to set up in the purple lot, probably in the corner between Mellencamp and the BART. We'd like for everyone who listens and who follows the website to stop by if they want to. Bring a chair. Like I said, 10 o'clock, bring a side dish. We'll have all sorts of good food, and we'll have games. I'm sure cornhole, washers, some other games will be present. So just like to ask anyone out there that wants to be there to kick off our opening tailgate. And it will be BYOB, so bring your beverage of choice and a chair and come hang out with us early.
Yeah, it's something that we like to do on Saturdays. So you can find us either in that first row or second row from right behind home plate area there. Look for this guy, I guess. maybe the limo hats. But we'll have a pub table out there, possibly an IU bar out there. And I'll be bringing a grill. So if you want to bring some burgers or dogs or whatever, we'll just pitch in and sit around and talk some baseball. So we'll see you Saturday at some time between 10 and 1:30, and then we close up shop and head in for the announcements. So
one more thing on that, Brian. I want to invite everyone to be there at about 1 o'clock when we present the captain with his, since he's got his limo hat, he's got a patch for his limo hat.
Yes.
His first captain's patch. So we want to invite everybody to be out there about 1 o'clock for that ceremony.
Well, oh, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious, Brian. If I could just throw in one more thing about the tailgate.
Sure.
This isn't the grass lots for the football game. Okay. Yeah. This is family friendly. Bring your kids. We're going to might do some dizzy back games if a bunch of kids come. This is not wild and crazy. This is fun and calm and relaxed. We're old. It's going to be relaxed. Bring your kids. Just, you're going to be fine.
It is basically this in a parking lot, you know, where we're talking how great Indiana baseball is. And we'd like to meet the fans, anyone involved with Indiana baseball, just stop by and say hello, because we think it's a big one big happy family, especially when we're 9-2. So,
oh, yeah,
it'll be cold, but come on out and have a good time. So let's look forward to the home opening games. We have a game scheduled Wednesday against Cincinnati at 3 o'clock. That game has been moved up an hour due to the weather. It will be extremely cold, so bundle up, and we'll have a preview here coming up on that. And then the weekend series, Pacific is in town for a 6:05 start on Friday, a 2:05 start on Saturday, which we will be tailgating, and then Sunday, game three of the series against Pacific starts at 1:05. And Chris, I think you have some things, and anyone else chime in on Cincinnati and Pacific, what we can expect coming up in the next four games.
Okay. Yeah, I dug up a little bit on Cincinnati. They're obviously from the American Conference. Last year, they were 28-28. We play all the time. I believe they got us last year out in their place. Another real cold game, real windy game. I think one of our friends of ours was over there at that game. They traveled there, and it was brutally cold. They're playing good ball right now. They've won the last 4 out of 5. They might not be playing, the best competition, but they did go out to San Diego and split 2. So, this team isn't just, somebody who we're going to roll over. They're 6-5, and out of their 5 losses, 4 of them are by 2 runs or less. So they're playing close ball games. They're playing well. Like I said, they split with San Diego. A guy to look out for them, Manny Rodriguez, is a senior infielder. He's number 2. He seems to be one of their better players. He's had 10 RBIs on the year already, so keep an eye out for him. And they have 7 different guys that have homered this year. So they might have, they don't have a Luke Miller. They don't have a 5 home run guy, but they have 7 different guys that have on their homer tracker already. And keep an eye out in the crowd, because you never know. Sandy Koufax, Cincinnati alumni. Kevin Youkilis, Cincinnati alumni. You never know who might show up on a random Wednesday at 3 o'clock.
Hey, and then I think we can start finding out the pitching and see who's going to start midweeks. And we're going to have a couple weeks where we have 2 midweek games. And so we'll start to get an idea there of what we're thinking about, who's being saved for the weekend versus the Wednesday night. And who has something here on Pacific?
Yeah, that's me too, Brian.
All right.
Yeah.
We're back to Chris.
That's it, yeah. The Pacific Tigers. Their RPI is a stealth 260. They're 5-8 as we speak. They just split a series with Cal Poly, so they did take 2 games from them, but their RPI is 194. So it was a battle of the almost 200s. But, you play who you play. They were picked by just about everybody to finish last in the WCC. I'll give them credit, though. Saturday, they lost the doubleheader. They lost 9-0 and 9-1 and came back today and won a game. So I'll give them that. If you lose 18-1 in a doubleheader and you come back the next day and win, I got to give them credit for that. They got a couple outfielders. Bradley Jekic, number 14, leads the team in average, hitting .314. So he's somebody to look for. And Keaton Glover leads the team in home runs. He's got 2. So Luke Miller versus Pacific right now is currently Luke -1. Okay. Pacific has 6 home runs. Luke has 5. So that's something to keep an eye on, like Pacific versus Luke Miller. And their stolen base guy is Kevin Sandry, number 8. He has 2 steals. So Feinman can throw him out a couple times over the weekend. And the alumni here are great. Pete Carroll, coach of the Seahawks, might show up. Scott Boris, the agent of everybody. You never know. Hey. He might spend the weekend in Bloomington. You don't know.
We might need him if things keep going well, the way Feeney's doing the Nemo hat. No, I'm talking about you, Feeney.
Oh, no, no, no,
Feeney might need an agent.
Our players might need
some. Oh, okay. And, well, don't do that until their eligibility's over. We don't want the FBI or anything.
No accusations. No, nothing. That's for Louisville.
That's right.
And then we have one more alumni to keep an eye out for, Chris Isaacs, the singer. I don't know if you guys remember him. Wicked game. So keep an eye out for him as well. Pacific Tigers all weekend at the bar, 6 o'clock Friday, 2 o'clock Saturday, Sunday, 1 o'clock. See you at the bar for Pacific.
And so now it's time to start wrapping up the show, and we're going to go to Josh first so he can get his final thoughts in.
I'll do it now. I want to bank this one.
ahead of time. So, Josh, your final thoughts about week 3.
Hey, 9-2. Life's good. Home opener on Wednesday. Yeah. Again, moved up to 3 o'clock. And then the tailgate this Saturday at 10. Hey, can't wait to be back in the bar here in the next few days.
It is a beautiful place to watch a game, and it is exciting for this group. I'm looking forward to seeing you in person instead of through the camera lens and everything, and yep, reliving some of that when we first met. So, Josh, I can't thank you enough for starting up the website and doing all that with Chris and getting a lot of this organized. Cassie, your final thoughts on week 3.
Well, my first final thought now is that I'm super jealous of everyone who gets to go to the BART this week. I'm coming for Purdue, and I can't wait for that. But this was a huge weekend, and beyond the wins, seeing different people step up at different time, seeing the different ways this team found to win, and seeing how superstitious the entire fan base and the coaching the staff can be. Can't wait to see where we all watch games over the next few weeks, because I was standing on top of my bed and it was fun.
I told Cassie before we went on air, you guys are making me look good to my wife, because she thinks I'm a psycho fan. I just keep sharing all your talks and all your direct messages, and she's like, okay, you're not so bad. Cassie's on top of the bed. I said, yeah, Cassie's on the bed. Okay, Brian, okay. Carl, your last thoughts on a 3-1 weekend.
I just wanted to really talk about the end of that third game, and you mentioned it about how the pinch hitters came through. But I want to look at it from a strategy perspective and just talk about what a job the coaching staff did to set it up so that the right guys were in place to face that right-handed pitcher and really put them in danger. And wow, it was an impressive run there. And Coach Lamonis and staff just outmaneuvered those guys, and it was awesome to see.
You know, as a coach myself, when you make a decision and it works, you look good. Sometimes you make a good decision and it doesn't work, and then everyone's upset at you. But I also, Coach Buttons made a couple really good visits to the mound at appropriate times. And again, you could go out there and say, calm down or do this, and then he throws a home run ball the next pitch, and still have done a good job. But it just seems like so far, whatever's being said and communicated is getting us out of situations that are tough. So, yeah, I'm pretty impressed with the way the coaching staff has operated the game plan and in-game decisions so far. My man, Feeney, last thoughts.
Final thoughts for me. Again, agree with all three. Agree with all you guys. I mean, those are all great final thoughts. I'm going to touch on the fans again like I did last week, I think. The ups and downs of Saturday, man. From retweeting everybody's anger and hate at 7:30 to then retweeting everybody's happiness and joy at whatever, 11 o'clock. It was fun. It was a fun thing to participate in, the ups and the downs, from Kalatha sliding safe into home plate but being called out, and then to Kalatha winning the game in the ninth and Cal shutting that door. And it was just everybody's interacting, and it's fun, and I think people are really buying into this team. And I just hope we have a great home stand and keep it rolling. Where do we go? Iowa after that, maybe? But we're home for a while. So let's enjoy the BART for what, it's got that big screen out there now. It's going to be awesome.
10 straight games.
That's right. And my final thoughts is the team's very enjoyable, winning in a variety of ways. I think Cassidy hit upon it earlier, and I think it might be the best thing that this evening was this team can win in such a variety of ways. Good pitching can shut people down when we're not hitting. When we maybe give up some runs and are down, we can come from behind. That's going to make this team enjoyable every single game that we can follow. And I think, Cassie, you were right on point with that. And I also want to part of my final thought is it's really great to see some of the national recognition early for IU baseball. D1 baseball got a subscription. I know, Carl, you have a subscription. I go to that daily, and you see a lot of the Big 12 teams and SEC teams, and you read that, and you're like – but now Indiana's getting mentioned on weekend recaps and top five things of the weekend by Aaron Fitt and some of their writers. And it's nice to see that people saying, wow, this team is, there's no weakness. I heard that this weekend. So that's good from a fan standpoint. And I think how special this season should be and why we enjoy it. And then also, Chris, the fan stuff, this is why we'd like to see you at the tailgate, even if it's for 5 minutes. I know it's going to be rainy and cold, but stop by, try to find us, introduce yourself, let us know what you think. If there's anything that you would like us to do, say we're here for not just the five of us, but for the whole baseball community. I just got done coaching basketball this weekend. But the whole baseball community is one, and so please stop by and see us Saturday morning. So the next 10 games will be in Bart Kaufman. That's great. Come out and support the Hoosiers. Say hello to us in the stadium. Stop by our tailgate. Get a hold of us on social media. So this will do it for this week's Talking Hoosier Baseball. Please find future podcasts on Sports Talk with Tonsoni, which can be found on your favorite podcast source, as well as under the Talking Hoosier Baseball tab on iubase.com. Please follow iubase.com on Twitter at iubase17. Follow this podcast, Talking Hoosier Baseball, on Twitter at CUatTheBart, new handle there. And visit iubase.com to see articles, stats, schedules, and everything else that this fine crew puts together in support of Indiana baseball. So for the gang, I'm Brian Tonsoni. Go Hoosiers, and see you at the BART real soon.